You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Coming up, I speak to Donna Odom, Executive Director of the Southwest Michigan Black Heritage Society, about how its increased focus on racial healing is leading to a mission and name change. The Black Heritage Society is being renamed to SHARE. That's an acronym for Society for History and Racial Equity. Donna Odom talks to me about why the organization was begun 12 years ago and how it has evolved. The Black Heritage Society will roll out its new name on June 17th when it sponsors its Building a Racial Equity Network discussion. That's where representatives from a variety of anti-racism groups will talk about what they each do. When was the Southwest Michigan Black Heritage Society formed, and what was the reason for that?
We formed it in 2003, and at that time I was still working at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, and I had been given an assignment to do a project on the Underground Railroad. And in doing that project, I realized the rich history that Kalamazoo and Kalamazoo County, Southwest Michigan, had as far as African American history was concerned. And I thought, you know, we really need to have an organization that traces that history and really makes the community aware of the contributions that African Americans have made in the community. So I formed a group of people who were of like mind, and we started the organization. We became a 501c3 in 2003.
And so you operated for about 7 years while you were still at the museum, mm-hmm. and where you coordinated history programs and special projects. And I recall that Underground Railroad stuff that you did. You actually had a summer camp that exposed kids to that.
Right.
Now, in 2010, you retired from the museum. And tell me what happened then in terms of your organization and the kinds of work you were involved in.
Right.
I know that there was actually around the time that you retired, there was a huge race exhibit
right.
that was coming to the Kalamazoo Valley Museum.
Right.
Tell me about your role, because it all kind of intersects.
When we brought the exhibit to the museum, the planning began, obviously, well ahead of that time. And as you said, it came in 2010, but before that, we had been planning it at the museum. And in the community, an initiative formed around that exhibit. You know, we brought together over 30 organizations who were going to be involved in the race exhibit initiative. Now, I was assigned from the museum to work with, you know, helping to get the exhibit up and that kind of thing. But I was also assigned to be part of that initiative.
Yeah, part of that steering committee
right.
that operated
right.
in the community. I know that you had community discussions that I think you helped facilitate. How did this affect the work with your organization?
Right. We decided at that point that we
and that would be around the year 2010
some,
when
right,
the exhibit
right,
came
right, right.
for a few months. And it was a major touring exhibit about race.
Yeah. And we decided at that point that we should become involved as an organization and provide the historical background for the exhibit. So we did a couple of things. One of them was to partner with Western Michigan University Journalism Department to put together an oral history project called Telling the Kalamazoo Community Race Story. And we published a book from that. But we also decided to bring the film Traces of the Trade and to invite the author of the companion book, Inheriting the Trade, Tom DeWolf, here in a program. And so we had Tom come in. He introduced the program and talked about his book. And if, for those who are not familiar with Traces of the Trade, it's about a Rhode Island family that actually were one of the largest slaveholders families in the country.
Right, and he's a descendant of that family.
He's a descendant of that family, and he and his cousins actually took the entire triangular journey that is, you know, that was part of the slave trade and documented that. And then as a follow-up, he wrote the book, Inheriting the Trade.
And kind of giving a little bit of the backstory for our listeners who may not know and kind of following the timeline, again, that race exhibit came to the Kalamazoo area, the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, in fall of 2010. It left in early January and around of 2011. And by March, to keep that dialogue going about race, because it really did kind of get the community really talking about issues of race, you wanted to keep that dialogue going. So you actually helped form something called the Race Initiative Book Club.
Right.
And what's different about that book club, and you know, full disclosure, I'm actually a founding member of that group. With you. The book club meets in community spaces and brings people of various races together to talk about books concerning race. You're looking now to change the name of your organization. It's now going to be called SHARE, the acronym SHARE, and that stands for?
Society for History and Racial Equity.
Why now the name change?
Right. Well, we've been working up to that point, obviously.
Definitely.
In 2012, we decided, again, this is an extension of the race exhibit, we decided to put together a race initiative. And as a kickoff for that, we invited Tom DeWolf back. He and his writing partner, Sharon Morgan, who had written the book Gather at the Table. And both Tom and Sharon are members of a group called Gather at the Table. And they, what it is descendants of both slaveholders and people, you know, who were enslaved, their descendants. And they come together for racial healing. And so they put together the book, traveling all over the country, visiting various venues, and really getting to know one another. A little, you know, going beyond just sitting at a table and discussing issues of race. They really got to know one another. And the book reflects that, of course. Anyway, they came here in 2012 and spoke. That was our kickoff for the Race Initiative, which was originally a two-year initiative. In 2014, at the end of that two-year initiative, at our strategic planning, we realized that, you know, the activities involved with the race initiative had really become a major part of what we were doing. And we decided that we would actually make racial equity part of our mission. So, you know, we now formed a new mission statement, which is to nurture respect, to foster racial healing, and to promote appreciation and study of the African-American heritage and contributions to Southwest Michigan history. So that has become a part of our mission, and we've realized, of course, that our name did not reflect that new mission. So we came upon the idea of SHARE, Society for History and Racial Equity, and we're delighted to now have an acronym that we can use.
Also, in recent years, your organization has taken on sponsoring the annual Summit on Racism.
Correct.
And more recently, you did something hoping to bring in a youth voice to that. You did the I think it's a youth summit on racism, what you called it. So again, your work kind of turning more towards kind of this racial healing. There's another event you have coming up now on June 17th, and it is entitled Building a Racial Equity Network. What is that about?
That's a kind of a part of our community discussion series that we've been doing on a monthly basis. This is to bring together organizations and individuals who are engaged in activities that have to do with racial equity, but also to invite members of the community who would like to become involved in some way and acquaint them with the organizations that are doing this work. So it's a networking event, as well as an opportunity for us to announce our new name and our new direction and that kind of thing. But one of the things that we want to do as a very important part of SHARE is to bring together people to collaborate and cooperate in racial equity efforts. We realize there are a lot of groups out there who are doing things, and we want people to know about them, and we want to support those groups. One of the things that we have realized, very, very important to our work, is collaboration. we never would have been able to do a lot of the things that we've done if we hadn't collaborated with other organizations. We're very small. We've always been very small. But we've been able to increase our capacity by working with other groups. So we want to kind of share that concept with other people. We're stronger together. There's just no way around that.
Tell me how you see with this new focus, or I should say this evolving focus, you've been doing this for quite actually some time, you're just now formalizing it with a name. How will your organization differ from others doing this kind of work? Like you said, there are others in the area. How will it differ?
What we want to do, as I said, is to kind of become a clearinghouse for all of those organizations. Our particular part that we play is to offer programs that promote racial healing. So we'll continue our retreats, we'll continue our community discussions, the book club, all of that. But there are other people out there who are doing different kinds of things, like anti-racism training and working for fair food and that sort of thing. So we want to collaborate with those organizations and to promote what they're doing as well. So we want to be kind of a clearinghouse where people who want to get involved can figure out, okay, where can I plug in? You know, am I just kind of getting my feet wet right now and maybe just, you know, wanting to come out to a book club and get educated, find out a little bit more about the history of racism. And once I find that out, maybe then I'll want to do, you know, something more active. So we want to give people that opportunity to find their place in what we call the continuum.
Something that I also kind of wanted to highlight is that it might be easy to think that the organization might just be you, but there's actually many people behind you. You represent a board, a governing board that has about 12 different members, and many of them are actually affiliated with major historical and other types of organizations. Can you tell us some of the names of some of those people people might recognize?
Yeah, I would first mention Romeo Phillips, who is a founding member. He was one of the first who was part of the organization. He's worked with us the entire time.
And is a former chairperson for you.
Yeah, and a former board chair. And is now an emeritus member, which means that, you know, he still has membership status, still is able to vote. But we realize, you know, he can't make every single thing and be there all of the time.
And people may recognize his name as a former Portage City Council member and first African-American tenured professor at Kalamazoo College. And he does a lot of stuff in the arts world, singing and so on. I think acting as well.
Yeah. So he's a well-known name in the community. Absolutely. And then, of course, we have the director of the archives, Sharon Carlson, who is our secretary, obviously a great support for what we're doing in the history, in the area of history, and Christine Barrow, who is the retired director of Portage Library. So those two, you know, have been a great help and support, you know, as we do our history and form our own archives.
Yeah, when you talk about archives, you're referring to Dr. Sharon Carlson, who's the director of Western Michigan University's Archives and Regional History Center here on campus. And you also have Judge Curtis Bell, who's also, I think, an emeritus member now. Yeah, so you have a number of individuals affiliated with your organization. Can you tell me a little bit about you've evolved also in terms of staffing? Before, wasn't it like entirely volunteer run?
Right. Well, our major funding comes from the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, and they have been extremely supportive as we have evolved and helped us in many ways in, you know, forming our new look and our new direction. And at this point, I am actually, you know, able to have an assistant, Jacob Penny Johnson, who is a young man who is involved with a lot of activities in the community. He's worked with Erase, he's worked with the Fair Foods and that kind of thing. So he's a wonderful addition to our staff. And Dana Lindsay is our archivist, and she has done some study at Kalamazoo Valley Community College and I think Western as well, taking some courses. And she her ambition is to be a full-time archivist at some point. So she is wonderful in organizing us and keeping our record straight and all of that. So I'm delighted to now be able to talk about having a real staff.
As you reflect over, if your organization started in 2003, what would you say are the top accomplishments you've done over those years to present?
I'm really proud of the oral history projects that we've done, because I think that those projects have really made a difference in the lives of the young people who have done those interviews with elders from the community. And the publications that we have produced from those.
You're talking about the one with the racial
from those
healing?
With
the race exhibit, yes.
Yeah, telling the Kalamazoo community race story, and then we just published one recently. Engaging the Wisdom, which is part of the Racial Healing Initiative.
And that was published?
Yes, that was published as well.
When was that published?
Just last year, the end of the year. I think just being able to collaborate with so many organizations in the community, it's really done so much for us. I think that just the ability to work with other people in that way and be successful in that way, I think is one of our major accomplishments. And, I think that another accomplishment is just being able to bring together people. We have gotten, testimonials, you would call them, from people saying, that they're so thankful that we've been doing some of the things that we've been doing. I mean, when we started out with the idea of the Racial Healing Initiative, as I said, we thought it would be 2 years, but the reactions that we got from people, wanting more, always asking for more discussions, more time, we realized that it was something that was really needed very much in the community. And so that is why we decided to make that part of our mission. And I think that just education, people just aren't aware of so many things. It's amazing to us. We have people telling us they didn't know that slaves were whipped. Stuff like that. It's just obviously needed.
Last thoughts. Why is this issue of racial equity so important in America and in this community in particular?
Well, it's been important for many, many years, forever, I guess. I think the race issue is probably one of the most crucial issues in our history and in our current lives. I mean, you see it every day on television, And part of the problem is that people have not spent enough time with one another to really know who that other person is. They see a white person or they see a black person. They don't see an individual. And I think that is the reason why the discussions and the retreats and the book club are meaningful to people, because we share our stories and we become human to one another. And I think that, that all of the activist kinds of things that we do are extremely important, but we also have to do a lot of work on the individual level. And that's what we're trying to do.
You can learn more about the new mission and name of the Southwest Michigan Black Heritage Society at the informational program titled Building a Racial Equity Network. The program is open to the public and scheduled for 6 p.m. Wednesday, June 17th at the Kalamazoo Public Library's downtown branch. For more information, go to our webpage at wmuk.org. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Earlene McMichael.